Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 3, we were talking about how convincing the deception of Satan can be. Let's pick up with that thought today.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
We read in the Bible, the children of Israel, and when we read that, that was mainly referring to adults. But it was a term of an affection of the Lord for Israel. So he says, let no man deceive you, little children. That's actually stated as a command by which we are being instructed to ever be on guard against. Now, you read sometimes in the Bible, fastings and watchings. A watch is to guard. Okay, it's like they'd have a night watch where the man would watch the city and guard the gate and looking for anything that might try to break in. Guarding against evil. Many of you have burglar alarms, you have protective dogs, and plus a gun by your bed, and you do that to watch against the enemy that may try to break into your house, a thief. And so that's the idea of watching. You guard against sin. Now, Satan is a deceiver. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us he's the father of lies and deceit. For Jesus said in John 8:44, to the Pharisees, the very religious people, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your fathers ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Did he not tempt Eve in that matter? And he worked at her pride? But he lied about God. Now we see false apostles and deceitful workers. And Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And so are his ministers or messengers, although those people themselves don't see themselves as that. They don't realize they are deceived, and so they become ministers of Satan without really realizing it, thinking they are ministers of God. Something seemed good. It seems right. Seems religious. Satan and his cohorts do not forsake the assembling of themselves together, as Christians forsake the assembling of God's people together. They're more faithful to their thing than you are to yours. So don't believe him, because Satan is trying to deceive you. He was going to make you question the word of God, just like he did in the garden to Eve. Satan will send people to your life who are religious and very likable. You know, I've seen people follow men into the contemporary movement, to other things that it's one time in their life they wouldn't have gone that direction. So why did they go now? Because of the personality and the power of the personality, the draw of that person. In many ways, it may be a power the devil has given to draw people after them. Just like it'll be with the Antichrist and the false prophet in the tribulation period. Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. So sometimes the devil can even affect Christian people and begin to lead you down the wrong direction. That is why there is a strong command here to always be on guard against deception. Be careful, people, whom you just can't help but to like them. You soon begin to overlook things that you would have never tolerated with anyone else. And when it gets there, Satan has you hooked. Hook, line, and sinker, as someone has said. And Satan has you. You see, you end up exalting a person above Christ. Again, in 1 John 1:8-10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now you keep that in mind, because it may be a friend. Now I've known preachers who were the same way toward the ones who helped either pad their pocket or provide money for their projects, for church building, for youth ministries, or whatever. They say, we shouldn't allow that teen, we shouldn't allow that teacher, we shouldn't allow that whoever to get away with that. This problem needs to be addressed. But if a friend, a family, or some ministry worker that is partnering with them and backing them, then it's, well, they have extenuating circumstances. And we just need to forgive them because you don't understand them. Look, Christ forgives everybody when they repent. If they don't repent, he doesn't forgive. And people have wronged. I want to be the first to forgive them, but I want them to repent. I don't want to forgive them. I want the forgiveness already in my heart, so when they do repent, I can forgive them. Had about two people that in the last 30-some-odd years really did some things to hurt me, and yet they've come back and they've apologized. We've had good conversations together since then. Friendly. Had others in the last 2 or 3 years that have really did some hard things and said some hard things, lies and all kind of things. But you know what? There's a group that did that, but three of them already, and I think there's a fourth one getting ready to, have already come to me and just apologized. I had two others that said, oh, no, I didn't go because of what that group was saying. God led me to do something else, and that's what I'm doing. And but you know what? I appreciate that among people that do that. They overcome pride, and they make things right. And look, don't ever apologize. I've heard people go up and say, someone says, I want to apologize for doing this. And you say, well, I want to apologize for it. No, you don't have to apologize when you were doing right. If you're doing wrong, apologize. So when they say, well, you don't understand them, they're having an identity crisis due to this situation or that situation. They're trying to find out who they are. Well, show them a birth certificate, okay? It's not easy when you know and you have a close relationship with those kind of people. Now look, I've watched over 40 years in full-time ministry and over 48 years since I preached a sermon the first time in a church and on radio. I mean, my first radio ministry was 48 years ago in the mountains of North Carolina. And there are people who have strong standards and right doctrinal position. They send their children to a Christian college, which they believe is strong in the fundamentals. And then that child comes home with change standard and doctrinal compromise. And suddenly those parents are saying, well, we need to rethink how we do church in this 21st century. Or they say, is it really necessary to take such a strong stand on the Bible? Well, it's kind of like Satan. You know, Satan knew Adam's soft spot was Eve. Adam was not deceived by the devil, Eve was. But Eve was Adam's soft spot. And sometimes Satan knows that you're strong till it comes to your spouse or to your children. Then you have a soft spot that trumps God, that trumps the Word of God, and trumps all biblical doctrine, principles, morals, and everything else. And they're put first. Satan parades as a minister of light, and he deceives preachers as well as the man in the pew. That is why, when there is a sudden change in the music and other standards, remember Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King. Now notice, this strong command God gives in the rest of the verse, and meddle not with them that are given to change. So when people want to destroy the foundations, then what can the righteous do? In other words, somebody wants to get back right with God, they wandered away. What can they do when you've destroyed the foundations because, well, they're your children and you love them and oh, you don't want them to feel bad. The best thing might be that they feel bad, that they get right. And so, again, we must realize that if we're going to walk with God, we're going to have enemy. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. As badly as we may suffer in this present hour, it will seem minute compared to the great of the glory in heaven. So suffering's greatness is so minute compared to heaven's greatness of glory. And so you stay true to God. Now, it's lacking faith in God's word on that issue what keeps people from not taking a stand with their children and others who may be involved. So again, you take your stand and you stand on the word and you live by the word. You'll have sufferings for this present life that is but a vapor and then soon passeth away. But eternity never passeth away. And you're laying up for that day.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.